Sahanavatu, Sahanau Bhunaktu, Sahavirayankaravavahai, Tejasvinavatitamastomavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so
put it on. Okay.
So prayers of the Acharyas, Sharanagati by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And then I think this is the last song, no?
Yeah.
Vigyapti, spiritual request. Ragini Surata Kampaja Ekatala. Kabe habe bolo se dina amar. Amar aparada guchi shudha nama ruchi kripa bale habe hridoye sanchar. Please tell me when, oh when, will that day be mine? My offenses will come to an end, and a taste for the pure holy name will be infused within my heart by the power of divine grace. So it's not that he's just has tasted, but it's actually infused. It means it just becomes part of the of one's existence, that taste for the name, that interest in the name. Trina dika hina kabe nijamani sahishnuta guna hridoyete ani sakale manada apana amani hoye ashwadhibo nama rasasar. Feeling myself lower than a blade of grass, welcoming the quality of forbearance into my heart, giving honor to all living beings, and being freed from false pride, when will I taste the essence of the liquid nectar of the holy name? So he's feeling himself, you know, in that humble way, and he's welcoming the quality of forbearance, rather than, yes, we're supposed to be forbearance, but actually, you know, I'd rather, you know, get revenge or this or that. So here's then the quality of, he's welcoming that, so it becomes part of your nature, like that, giving honor to all, being free from false prestige, then, you know, one can taste. Dana Jana Ara Kavita Sundari Bolibo na chahi deho sukakari Janme janme dao ohe gaurahari Ahaituki bhakti charana tomar. Wealth, followers, beautiful women as described in worldly poetry. I do not want any such bodily pleasures. O Lord Gaurhari, please give me unmotivated devotion to your lotus feet, birth after birth. Footnote 36. O Lord of the universe, I do not desire wealth, materialistic followers, a beautiful wife, of fruit of activities described in flowery language. All I want, life after life, is unmotivated devotional service unto you, Shikshastakam 4. So it's interesting how it says that all these things, wealth, women, wealth, followers, beautiful women, as described in worldly poetry. Right? So in worldly poetry, then these things are brought out in the way that one will be very happy, satisfied, you know, one will enjoy oneself, all these different aspects. So they try to make the material life, the material endeavor, very attractive. You know, that's what the poetry is. The idea of poetry is to make something attractive. So then, you know, that's what we're not interested in, because that's not actually what's there. Poetry is there to, it creates that, but that's not actually what happens. Because for every action, there's a reaction, and, you know, like that. If you're enjoying, that means then there has to be the piety to enjoy. That means you have to put in the work to get that facility and all these things. So that's not interesting. So unmotivated devotional service, you know, to the Lord, birth after birth, So that doesn't mean that he's just, it's because of humility. It's not that he's thinking, I'll be here and I'll be mundane. It just means I want unmotivated devotional service. And whether I'm here, wherever you want, that's where I'll be. I just want to do service. Kabe korite Shri Krishna nama ucharana pulakita deho gadgara vachana vaivarnya vipatu habe samgratana nirantara netre bhabe ashrudhar. When, while articulating the divine names of Sri Krishna, will my body be thrilled in ecstatic rapture, my words choked with emotion, loss of color and ecstatic trembling occurring, and streams of tears flowing constantly from my eyes. Footnote 37. My Lord, when will my eyes be beautified by filling with tears that constantly glide down as I chant your holy name? When will my voice falter and all my hairs stand on my body, and all the hairs on my body stand erect in transcendental happiness as I chant your holy name? Shatrastagam 6. Kabe navadvipe sura dhunitate gaura nityananda boli nishkapate nachiya gaya bedaibo chute batulera praya chariya vichara. When, in the land of Navadvipa, on the banks of the celestial Ganga, will I run about innocently calling out, O Gaura, O Nityananda, dancing and singing? I will wander about like a madman, giving up all consideration of proper behavior. Footnote 38. Only once in a while does the Lord give bhakti, and only to a rare intelligent person who desires only that, indifferent to the opinions of the world. What's BB? Oh, okay. I was going to say Bhakti Basambrita Sindhu. Priyat Bhagavatamrita. Okay, 2:4, 2:33. Okay, so Sanatana Goswami. So here is to a rare intelligent person who desires only that. So that's why he's always asking for pure unalloyed devotional service. So that's the position, is when we only want that. Not that we're, you know, like he's pointing out, is that I have all these other things that are happening and distractions and that. But when will that day come when this is all I want? All I want is your pure unalloyed devotional service. So if that comes up, then Krishna is inclined to give bhakti to that individual. So it's a matter of desire. When we desire, it's just about Krishna. Then we see, then Krishna reciprocates. Because that's intelligence. That's real intelligence. Otherwise, you know, we're being practical, we're doing so many nice things and all that, but it's not necessarily, you know, to do with pure devotional service. Then that is the common use of intelligence. I mean, so many people are doing that, whoever's successful in the world. But for those who are successful in the transcendental platform, then it's about, they just want pure and alloyed devotional service. That's their focus. Kabe Nityananda More Kori Doya Chadaibe Mora Vishayera Maya Dia More Nija Charanera Chaya Namera Hatete Dibi Adikar. When will Lord Nityananda be merciful to me and release me from the illusion of worldliness? When will he give me the shade of his own lotus feet and bestow upon me the qualification necessary to enter the marketplace of the holy name? Kini bo lutibo hari nama rasa nama rase mati hoibo vivasa Rasera rasika charana parasa koriya mojibo rase anibar. Somehow or other I shall buy or steal the mellows of the name of Lord Hari. Becoming thoroughly intoxicated by these liquid mellows, I will be stunned. By touching the feet of those great souls who are expert in relishing those mellows, I will be constantly immersed in the nectar of the holy name. Kabe jiva doya hoive udoy nija shuka buli sudina ridoy. Bakati vinona koriya vinoy shri agya tahala koribe prachar. When will there be an awakening in me of compassion for all fallen souls? Then this Bhaktivinoda will forget his own happiness, and with a meek heart he will set out to propagate by humble solicitation the sacred order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this aspect is that he's asking for this pure devotional service, that he may be gifted with this. But we see here is by the grace of Nityananda Prabhu, we give up the worldly desire. When that's given up, then we're able to be absorbed in the holy name. We're able to taste the nectar of the holy name. We're able to appreciate the great souls that are there. And, then one will have compassion for fallen souls. These all come when, having the mercy of Lord Nityananda, one gives up the material desire. Right? So that first principle that's there is when one has that faith that nothing material can actually give you any benefit. Right? Neither it will give you material benefit, neither will it give you spiritual. It just means it has nothing to do with the soul. The soul is Krishna's energy, it may engage it, but for the soul there's no benefit. It's the devotional service. It's just like, let's say you need to hammer something, and so that requires a hammer. And so maybe there's nothing around, so you have to pick up a rock and use that. But it's the hammering that's important. It's not I have this first hat class hammer, that's why it's all going so well. No, it's that hammering has to be done. The benefit comes from that. So the benefit comes from devotional service, not from anything material. We can engage the material, but it's not that the material produces any benefit on the material or spiritual platform. So having that faith, so by the Lord grace of Lord Dhananda Prabhu, then one has that kind of faith. Then one can actually appreciate the Vaishnavas. That's why the Madhyama appreciates Vaishnavas. That's the main difference between the neophyte and the Madhyama. The Madhyama appreciates Vaishnavas, the Kanista tends to not. It means if you're doing what I think is good, or you're directly connected with me, and I feel that relation, then of course there's some connection, because it's not that the neophyte is not appreciating or dealing, but it's basically centered around themselves. They're pleasing to me, therefore, then I'm respecting. But for the Madhyama, no, Vaishnavas are respectable. You deal properly. Right? And they're not pleasing you, but still you have to deal in a proper way, an appropriate way. Right, so then respecting the Vaishnavas, because that's the secret to advancing in devotional service. So giving up the material attachment, worshipping the Vaishnavas, moving forward, and then to please Lord Chaitanya, then to have compassion on all living entities. Because you see them all connected to Krishna, therefore you're trying to. If you don't see a benefit of the material endeavor, it's easier to tell people how it's not important to take up, and one should take up spiritual life. If one thinks it's very important, then only those aspects that you do have that faith in the devotional process, you can give them that much. But the point is, if you've touched bhakti, that much that you've touched, you can give. But how much more effective is it when you're telling them it's the material world, we belong to the spiritual, when that's actually what in the core of your heart you believe and practice? So it goes, it's not theory anymore. It's real. It's actually, like you said, it's imbued in the heart. And then there's no difficulty. Then you can tell with that very nice innocence and everything like that. And it goes very well. People are convinced. Yeah? Yeah. Oh, another one. Sri Nama Mahatmya. Okay, so they're just single songs. Sri Nama Mahatmya, the glories of the holy name. Krishna Nama Dhare Koto Bal Vishaya Vasanale Morachita Sada Jwale Rave Tapta Maro Bhumi Sam Karna Randara Patadiya Hridi Maje Praveshiya Varishoya Shudha Anupam. What power does the name of Krishna possess? My heart constantly burns in the fire of worldly desires, just like a desert scorched by the rays of the sun. The holy name, entering the core of my heart through the holes of my ears, showers unparalleled nectar upon my soul. Hridaya hoite bole, jivara agrete chale, shabda rupe nache anukshan. Kante mora bange swara, anga kampe tara tara, stira hoite na pare charan. The holy name speaks from within my heart, moves onto the tip of my tongue, and constantly dances on it in the form of transcendental sound. My throat becomes choked up, my body violently shivers, and my feet cannot remain still. Chakshe dhara dehi gharma, pali kita shabe shaba charma, vivarna hoilo kevalar. Murchita hoilo man, pralayera agaman, bhave sarva deha jara jar. Rivers of tears flow from my eyes. Perspiration completely soaks my body. All my skin thrills with rapture. My hairs stand on end, and my complexion turns pale and discolored. My mind grows faint. I begin to experience devastation, and my entire body is shattered in a flood of ecstatic emotions. Kori eto upadrava, chite varsha shudhadrava, more dare premera sagar. Kichu na bujite dilo, more to batula koilo, Mora chitta bita shava hare. While causing such a static disturbance, the holy name showers liquid nectar on my heart and drowns me in the ocean of divine love of Godhead. He does not allow me to understand anything, for he has made me truly mad by having stolen away my mind and all my resources. Loino oshraya jar, heno vyavahar tar, varnite na pari. A Sakal. Krishna Nama Ichamoy, Jahe Jahe Duki Hoy, Se Mora Sukera Sambal. Such is the behavior of him in whom I have taken shelter. I am not capable of describing all this. The holy name of Krishna is independent and thus acts on his own sweet will. In whatever way he becomes happy, that is also my way of happiness. Premera kalika nam adbhuta rasera dham heno bal karaye prakash ishat vikashi puna dekha nija rupa guna chitahari loya krishna pash. The holy name is the bud of the flower of divine love and is the very abode of astonishing mellows. Such is the power he manifests that when his holy name starts to blossom a little further, it then reveals his own divine form and qualities. Thus my heart is abducted and taken directly to Krishna. Puna vikashita hoya, braje more jaya loya, dehaya more swarupa vilas, more siddha deha diya, Krishna pashe rake giya, E dehera kore sarvanash. Blossoming fully, the flower of the holy name takes me to Braja and reveals to me his own love dalliance. This name gives to me my own eternal spiritual body, keeps me right by Krishna's side, and completely destroys everything related to this mortal frame of mine. Krishna nama chintamani, akila rasera kani, nitya mukta shuddha rasamoy. Namera balai jata shaba loye hoy hata kabe mora sukera udoy. The name of Krishna is a transcendental touchstone, a mine of all devotional mellows. It is eternally liberated and the embodiment of pure rasa. When all impediments to the pure chanting of the holy name are taken away and destroyed, then my happiness will know its true awakening. Footnote 39. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Hinatvan Nama Namino. The holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions, for it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete, and it is the form of all transcendental mellows. It is not a material name under any condition, and it is no less powerful than Krishna himself. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by material qualities, there is no question of being involved with Maya. Krishna's name is always liberated and spiritual. It is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. CC 17:133. So this would also address that, I think, what was it, yesterday or day before when we were discussing about the seeming difference between what Bhaktivinoda Thakura is presenting and then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura and Srila Prabhupada in the process of elevation. So here we see is that the name himself, then when we're talking name, form, qualities, pastimes, that's revealed by Krishna himself as the name. So that's why there's no need to get into these details, because the holy name will reveal all that. So when one has that faith in the name, one gives up the material attachments, it will all happen. But we shouldn't think that, but if I'm given that ritual itself will clear everything. No, that only has meaning if one's on that platform. Because the point is as it says, if the holy name is revealing, gives me my own eternal spiritual body, keeps me by Krishna's side, completely destroys everything, then it reveals his own divine form and qualities, thus my heart is abducted and taken directly to Krishna. So when Krishna's name and form are revealed, the qualities become attracted like that. Then one can, because it's only when you come to the platform in chanting of the holy name of pastimes does it have any real meaning of having a form. Right? Because otherwise you can say, no, but if we get before we can do something. But the point is as a nitya siddha in the spiritual world, having our eternal form and being situated, you know, in our ekadasa bhav, we didn't do anything with it. So that's not, the situation is not what makes it happen. It's our consciousness, what we do with it. You know, situations for someone inclined, they may, like someone's hungry and you present them something nice to eat, then in that situation they will act on that desire and eat something. But if they're not hungry, you can bring all the food you want, they won't eat. So this point of that, it's a, you know, that was made before, that Sanatana Goswami made. What was that? That only once in a while does the Supreme Lord give bhakti, and only to a rare, intelligent person who desires only that, indifferent to the opinions of the world. BB 24233. His opinions of the world means that they're coming from a mundane place. So this idea that the impurity of the concept that karma, that it's ritual that produces the benefit, then we're thinking, no, if I get this Ekadas Bhav initiation, then I will be able to function in that platform. But that's the sahajiyas and all that will simply be playing to the living entity's attachment to karma. And so because of that, then you present that on a platform that you're not there. But what's meaning here is that point comes. When you come to that point where you're attracted by Krishna's qualities and that, then if you get your form and all that, it means the form, then you can actually will take it and use it in Krishna's service. That's Sarup Siddhi. Because the point is Sarup, that we've had, and we allowed it to get covered by the material consciousness. The Sarup Siddhi means now you can use it in Krishna's service. So that aspect has to be appreciated, that we have to go there. Then when we're there, we can do something. You know? Does that make sense? Because otherwise, before that, what can you do? Let's say you're driving to a place where when you get there, then everybody will be told, okay, who's going to do what? You're having a big festival. But if, you know, if I need to know here in the car so I can already start working and all that, but you can't do anything. You're sitting in the car. You don't know the situation. You don't know what's there. No, but you tell me more. So then that means then that's an attachment to jnana. So between that attachment to karma and jnana, we think if the ritual is there and then by the knowledge, then I'll be able to do everything. But it's actually, no, it's just when the heart is purified and that natural affection for Krishna starts arising in the heart, that natural rati, then we can get somewhere, because rati is there first. Only when there's rati, then the meaning, vibhava has some meaning. Because unless there's rati attraction to Krishna, where you see Krishna as the goal and nothing else, and we as his servant, and him as the enjoyer, and we are as the one who is performing services for his enjoyment, then these different qualities of Krishna become the cause for us to perform service. Because another definition of anubhava is the desire to perform service. So when Mother Yashoda sees Krishna and she sees he's so cute and wonderful as her son, she has a desire to serve, and that desire then produces the physical ecstasies of crying or trembling or hair standing on end and all that. So it's coming from an emotion. It's not just coming on its own. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why it says it's coming by some conscious position. Well, then the satvika bhavas, that's coming just by the effect of the airs. Because you're conscious of that, the vibhava, that connection with Krishna, as the alambana, and then there's udipam, then you want to do some service and all that. And so that then creates the ecstasies that you feel. But at the same time, it's because, depending upon what it is, there's a whole science of it, then when that mood pushes on the different, you know, earth, water, fire, air, or ether, then it creates the different static symptoms that you're not actually, you know, these come on the side of that. That's why you see sometimes the same things in anubhava are the same things described in satvika bhava, you know, like crying or standing your hairs on the end. It can be in both. But it's just a matter, is it coming as a side effect of anubhava? In other words, it's a supporting effect of anubhava. So anubhava is the main thing, the desire to do service, and then the emotions and ecstasies that come up from that, and then the sattvika and the vyavachari, those will be side things that come up to support those. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the whole point is as we give up this attachment, karma, and jnana, we see it's just the holy name. It's not that, oh, no, if you get this, then you can do it. No. You have the holy name. The holy name will take care of everything. We just have to have that faith in the name. And then it says, nadanum najanum nasundarim. You know, we have to be humble. Like when we're humble, we're tolerant. We respect others and all that. Not looking for respect. Then we're able to give up danum janum nasundarim. Because the desire for these, that's the subtle aspect. But that comes from pride, lack of tolerance, lack of respect for others and all that. So that's why it's so important. If we don't respect the Vaishnavas, then we don't get past that third verse. And then you can't get to the fourth, and from that you don't get to the fifth, which then is seeing oneself completely as just the servant of the Lord. Then one starts to taste the nectar of the holy name. That brings you to the ecstasies. That brings you then to that deepens. Then you know you become absorbed in the pastimes. You perform your service there. Then that brings you to Vastu City, which then brings you to Prema, which then there's Vastu City. Because Vastu is the substance. Sarup City is not the goal. Sahajis make it, that's the goal. You've got that, you're done. But it's Vastu City. Because Sarup simply means you have your form, and the form is engaged. But the Vastu means what's the essence of that form. Because we know that the form comes from transcendental mood, or transcendental rati. You know, Brahma Samhita explains that. You have a particular rati towards Krishna, then there's that form to match it. So that means then it goes farther back. So starting from the external, you're starting from the conditioned state, and then by that purifying the gross and the subtle and all this, getting back to then the spiritual form, and then that's being brought to the point where it's the actual rati of the living entity and how that is being engaged in Krishna's service. Then it comes to Vastu City. Then you come to prema. Good?
Yeah. The traditional argument is given is that if a 5-year girl given an idea of that she will marry a certain boy, that helps to her to fix her mind on that person, although they never meet, it's like no physical connection, no nothing. Mm-hmm. But she has an idea that yes, I will be married to such and such within a time, and then slowly her mind, like you were explaining in the car, if I'm not there, you know, what am I gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
But in my mind I can prepare myself,
mm-hmm.
and you know, make a mental form,
mm-hmm.
that might help me, because I don't have to make a mental form when I'm there, but I'm already prepared for that in my mind. So then the whole act is much better performed. So this is...
That's 500 years of Sahajiya sitting in Raghavakrun to figure that one out. Okay. A tradition, on some levels it says tradition is if something's been done for 12 years, then it's considered a tradition. Because if something comes up, it's a fad. You do a couple of years, it goes away. But if it gets solid, then it becomes a tradition. So that means they've been saying this for 12 years. Okay. First of all, is some idea of the person. But the thing is Ekadas Bhav is about themselves, not about the person. That's the first point. So, we've been given Chintamani, Prakara Satma, Kalpa, Viksha, Lakshavati, Teshusa, and then all the things about Krishna, what he looks like, the Krishna book, everything about him, his wonderful name, form, qualities, pastimes. So that's already been given. We have to remember the Ekadas Bhav is about themselves, not about Krishna. Second thing is that, okay, now for girls, then they think like that, but do you think like a girl? Or do you think like a boy? And here, a boy means I'm the controller and enjoyer. Even if you're in a female body, but if you think I'm the controller and enjoyer, then you are a male. You can't think like a girl. Girls naturally have an attraction to think like this. But the problem is as long as there's Dhanam, Janam, and Sundarim, you're a boy. Doesn't matter what form you're in. And you'll never be qualified to enter into the spiritual world. So that idea they're just taking that we're already a girl. They're not. Not at all. Otherwise, just like you were saying there before, the aspect of... I don't even remember what the point you made. I know the point I want to make, but I can't remember. Okay, we'll leave that one right now. So that means you're not a girl. And then the whole point is the next mistake, because we're just talking about what are the mistakes that they're making. So the next mistake will be that I'll imagine a form of what I could do. But why do you have to imagine a form? The point is it's about service. You can be absorbed in, and you don't know that form that you're imagining is going to be of any use. You're so absorbed in that form, you can't do anything with it. You know, it's like a horse; they're always checking themselves out. You know? So, but then the point is what's recommended is anuga means you're following the footsteps of those who are already there. Why don't you think of their services? You want to do this, you think of their service. Right? So that's also already given by our acharyas. So they've already given the point that Krishna's like this, he's so wonderful and so beautiful. You hear all the pastimes of all the different devotees who find him wonderful and are attracted and all that. So right there's the man. It's not that you have to know who I am for that to work. Right? And they've been given the process of how you can give up the idea of the Purusha Bhav so that you can actually, you know, have that kind of inclination. And then the third is they've already given the aspect of Raganuga, I mean, Rupanuga. Bhakti is that you're following the footsteps. So that's one of the major, major differences between the Sahajya and the bona fide Vaishnavas is they never imagine themselves in the spiritual world. They imagine, they meditate on what they've heard about what the Acharyas do. And if they imagine I'm there doing it, you're a Sahajya. Like that. Because if you haven't come to that platform, then what's the point? You know, let's say you're having a party and suddenly a hologram shows up in the room, everyone's going, what the hell is this? And they'll go to the next room. You know, they don't care for this, because the point is in here that we always have to remember this Sahaji approach, it's about themselves, it's not about Krishna. It's about how I'm going to enjoy it. They still have the Purusha Bhav. That's why it's not, that's why everybody doesn't like it. They're hearing and chanting about Krishna, glorifying Krishna, doing basic sadhana that may be connected to Krishna. So many things may be all right, but it's about how they're going to enjoy. So they're not even coming up to the platform of the Mahishis of Mathura. You know, that was the whole thing. They want to enjoy, but with Krishna. And it's considered samanya, it's ordinary. It's not even up to Dwarka's standard. Mathura, it's about themselves. Dwarka, it's about half me, half Krishna, right? Half the wife, half Krishna, 50-50, right? It's Swakya. But Vraj is 100% about Krishna. So in this whole discussion, we notice it's not about Krishna. Because their explanation, Krishna doesn't really come up. It's about if I know this Ekadaspada, then I know all these things, then I can do. But you just have to be attracted to Krishna. The Gopa Radharani heard about Krishna. Not about what service she's going to do and this and that. She just heard about, and she thinks she's in love with three different boys because she's heard three different things about Krishna. One about his, you know, attractive feature, one about his wonderful qualities, and one about his transcendental love. And so on that, then she thinks she's in love with three boys. It's just the Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath features of Krishna. Just hearing it. Nothing about herself. So in other words, this approach is completely, completely unnecessary. That's the thing, it's unnecessary. They try to make it necessary so they feel that I'm advanced, I'm doing something, but it's not. You know? Does that make sense? That's the whole problem. Then when they get there, then the whole point is so if you've been cultivating that submissive mood, I'm not the controller enjoyer, you're appreciating all the service done by everybody and wanting to assist them in their service, because you're not going to do their service, you're going to assist in those services. It's not that, oh, Lalita is doing this service, so I want to do that. It's you want to assist Lalita doing that service, or Rupa doing that service. You're not going to come in and, you know, boing, and then you're going to get in there and do the work. Like that. That's not how it works. So this is the whole thing. They want to just butt in and take over. So it's also impersonalism. They want to replace these devotees. You know? So that's the thing. Because of the grossness of the desire to enjoy themselves, they can't see the subtlety of how they're projecting their material desire into the spiritual world. So it's aropia. It's not actually of any standard. And so when they get there, you know, like you're saying, we're going in the car when you get there. Then the whole thing is just, you know, okay, what can I do? It's not about serving those who are already there. You know, coming in with the humble mood, how can I serve? You guys are the greatest for me. I just want to be able to assist. I'll do anything. You know, you're wiping the floor. I'll wring the rag for you, or I'll carry the bucket, or I'll go get a new bucket of water. I'll do anything. It's, no, I want to go in there and do this and do that and paint the things on Krishna's face and, you know. You know, but somebody's already doing that. So you come in to assist. Then, seeing that you do that nicely, then you may move up. Why would they give Krishna is more dear to them than millions of their own lives, and Radharani is more dear than millions of their own lives? Why would they let you just walk in and do stuff? You don't do that. You know? Because you want to see that the person has bedded themselves. They're fully absorbed. Are they in samadhi? Because only when you come to the point of samadhi, then you get surupsiddhi. Then you can do these things. But they're making it sound like, no, I'm already there. I'm already doing it. So there's nothing in that, by the way they're approaching it, that is of any importance. The acharyas have already showed us how it works. So that's the difficulty, is that they're making up something for their own pleasure and to make them feel like they're more important and more advanced, because they think, oh, I know and the others don't know and all that. And it's an open secret. The process is there. You just have to take it. You know, it's just like these guys, they tell you, you do this, you'll make money. How many can do that? Mechanically, anybody could do it. But the mentality, it's just like, okay, you're doing something like this, and you see there's an opportunity, you know, to make big money. But now along the way, there's opportunities to make small amounts of money. How many people won't take that? Most will take that, so they won't get the big money. Because they think, I'll get this and I'll get that. No, you won't. So that's why these big guys, they just sit there. Things are falling apart, you know, it's how you say, you know, hemorrhaging money and this and that, but they know if they just hold on for this one, and then, bang, there it goes. People can't do that. So these people have the karma to do that. So we're talking beyond karma. So when you have the character to just, it's only Krishna, it's nothing else. There's no danam janam sundarim, or there's no retribution, there's no political correctness. All these things that devotees talk about now, and it's all the issues and that, none of them are any value for pure devotional service. Right? In the form they're in, they're absolutely useless. In fact, they're opposed to. Not that they're not discussing elements that aren't useful. You know, it's just like if I take a rolling pin from the kitchen, it's not that the rolling pin is not a useful instrument, but if I take it around the house and I'm breaking things with it and throwing it at people, then I can't say it's useful. If I say, now this is bad, no, but a rolling pin is actually quite good. Okay, great, in the kitchen, but not using it like this. So, you know, there's some consideration, there's etiquette, these are all fine, but how it's being used is completely opposed to the, you know, progressive devotional practices. So that's the thing, is all this time that we'd be discussing about Krishna, his name, form, quality, and pastimes, is being wasted in discussing about politics and social issues and all these things that are important to them, not important to our relationship with Krishna. And so this is just another form of it. You know, the main is the karma and jnana. So the karma takes on the aspect of the sahaja, the jnana takes on the impersonal. Because you see, the more they get into all these issues, the more impersonal it becomes. And the more they insist on these things, the more sahaja it becomes. But it's not about Krishna, it's about themselves and their issues. It's not about anybody else, because they won't get the benefit either. The liberals don't benefit anybody, right? Because it's about themselves. Right? Conservatives aren't, because it's about themselves. So the whole thing is the whole field is, if you're self-centered, it won't work. It can't work. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So it's sad, because the problem comes is that these things aren't discussed where some of the people are looking for answers. They're looking for a particular thing. Oh, he's just saying that. He's trying to hide it. You know, it's all a conspiracy. It's all this and that. No, it's just it's there. You just have to know when you're caught. Then you take it. It's revealed. Otherwise, then they think, no, but I want to. Great, then qualify her. Baba said, first deserve, then desire. Right? So you want that, but then you have to deserve that. How do you deserve that? Then these are all what's described in the prayers. And you see, they're always about humility, always about respecting and serving the Vaishnavas, always about serving the Lord. And that they're never about themselves. They mention themselves as that they are, as a living entity, part and parcel of Krishna, are trying to do something for Krishna. But they're never talking about, you know, I'm going to enjoy this and I'm going to enjoy that. And so he's just talking about the circumstantial aspects of that. But the point is it's about Krishna's pleasure. But they're talking about their pleasure. So they're using Krishna's circumstances for their pleasure rather than their circumstances for Krishna's pleasure. So it's reversed. It's still under the Avidya Shakti. So she's very clever. You know? And, you know, this has been a problem. It means this has always been a problem. Like that. We see Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that this was rife. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was rife. You know, that you preach and all that, it goes down, but then when you nourish, the holy name nourishes things, it also nourishes the weeds. So the more we preach, the more weeds are there. You know, we don't preach, it looks like less is going on, but still the weeds are growing. You know, the creeper's not, but when the creeper grows, these weeds go. That's why you have to be careful. And that's why then we know the philosophy, so we can discuss these things, so we know the process, so we can discuss, because it comes down to religion. What's the inherent nature of the soul? That's not what's being discussed here. Oh, but I have to know who I am. Your Lord Chaitanya, when asked, who am I? First thing is, Jiva Srupai Krishnamurti Adonis. That's the first point. So that has to be seen. Then you can progress from there. But it all gets on the sarup. So as soon as the focus is on the sarup, you know that there's something is weak in the perspective. Like that. Because the point is, of course you need a form. But that will come along with it. That's not the main thing. But for them, it's the goal. For us, it just comes along with it. You know? That's all provided by Yoga Maya. She takes care of all this stuff. Sandini takes care of this, but we're interested, we're serving Ladini, and Ladini is pleasing Krishna, so therefore we take care. And then some that Sandini are assisting in those things. So we being expansion of Sambit, therefore our business is in the situations of Sandini to please Krishna. But we make it the Sandini is the main thing. If I get that, I'll be happy. It's just like here. If I get this, I'll be happy. So if I get that, then I'll be able to be in sorrow. No, you get that, you won't. Still won't be able to be in sorrow. How much are they in sorrow? Yeah? Okay. Thus ends Sharanagati by Thakur Bhaktivinoda. Conclusion. Vaishnava Das Babaji. Shraddha is an integral part of the eternal inherent nature of the jiva. The inclination of the jiva towards a particular karma in the Varnashram social system is a product of his naimitika swabhava, temporary, assumed material nature. This is substantiated in the scriptures. For example, the Chandogya Upanishad 7.19.1. Yeah, so these come, we have a tendency, that's just from the swabhava, the temporary. So we just engage that Krishna service, because that's our point. Our sarup is to engage in Krishna service. So we're in this form. We engage that nicely in Krishna service. Like that. And then we're working on the principle of whatever my form is, I'll engage in Krishna service. It doesn't matter what it is, because the I'm eternal servant of Krishna is the primary. What that form is secondary. Right? Once you get to the absolute platform, they become non-different. But my saying, no, until I know the secondary, I can't be absorbed in the primary. That's not the primary is independent. Bhakti Devi is independent. Prema is independent. It's not dependent on these things. So, yeah. Sanat Kumara said, when a person develops Shraddha, respect for that which is to be known, he makes the effort to comprehend that object. Only those with Shraddha can know that object. Others without Shraddha cannot. That's why with mundane logic and all that, you can't know the Lord. Because only one who has faith, then he makes the effort, then they can comprehend. Because then Krishna reciprocates. You want to know him as the absolute person, he reciprocates. Therefore, O Narada, first there must be Shraddha. So it is essential to learn what is the true nature of Shraddha. Narada replied, My dear Lord, I earnestly desire to inform myself fully about Shraddha. Some commentators have explained that Shraddha means faith in the words of the Vedas and the Sri Guru. This explanation is acceptable, but not clear. In our Sampradaya, the word Shraddha carries the following definition. Amnaya Sutra 57. Shraddha tvanyo paya varjam bhakt yun mukhi chitta vritti veshaha. Shraddha is that propensity in man which strives for bhakti, rejecting the attainment of bhakti by the vehicles of karma, jnana, mystic yoga, and so on. Right, so that's actually Shraddha. So in the beginning, when someone takes up the position of Shraddha, in the Adau Shraddha, Tato Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, like this, then they have that idea that it's there. They may not have that full, that faith may not be firm, but still there's the idea that, yes, this is correct. So that sets them apart from others who may be following the Vedic system or following the devotional practices that are just handed down, like you said, with tradition from family practices and all that. And they worship Krishna. They have all their material desires and karma and jnana, but they approach Krishna for it. They do. They make their offerings, they do the things, and they ask Krishna for something. And like that, so it's going on. So they're separate from them because they don't have that. They're for them the karma, jnana, yoga. These are important, real goals. But here it's that these things aren't our ultimate goals. Only Krishna bhakti and service to Krishna is an ultimate goal. Though they may still have some contamination within the heart of karma and jnana, and so therefore, depending on the situation, then aspect of bhakti is sometimes very strong. Like you go to a kirtan or a class and it's very strong, and then at another point it's not so strong. So that means it's not stable, it's not steady. But it's still there. It's not that that goes away. And so as time goes and the heart becomes purified, then one becomes fixed, and then one sees that, yes, there is nothing else. Right, this is the real thing. Pure bhakti without anything else. These others are not going to be add to the attainment of bhakti. Does that make sense? It can be used, but you could use something else also. Does that make sense? You have an instrument, like you want some water. You can use a cup. You can use a bowl. You could use your shoe. You can use your hands. But the point is that drinking the water, that's the important thing. And that water has the nature that is contained in things. That's not coming from us either. That's coming from Krishna. So that we're using it, we simply use that law of Krishna in the service of Krishna. Does that make sense? But otherwise, I know, but without the cup, you can't drink the water and all. Then they make it about the cup. So that goes back to the 5-year-old girl. They're making it about that. They're not making it about Krishna. They're not making it about the bhakti. Like Maya is so subtle and so clever, they don't see that. Is that? Yeah. By constantly hearing about the Supreme Lord and saintly association, one's consciousness reaches a certain elevation. When one realizes that karma, jnana, astanga yoga, etc. cannot offer the jiva the eternal benediction of the absolute truth, and there is no other option for the jiva besides taking shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Hari with single-minded bhakti, only then can it be said that one has developed shraddha and faith in the words of the shastra and guru. Right? Because then you see, because otherwise, how is it that if we say that, no, but we have that Shraddha, why would there be doubts in what Prabhupada's given, or in the scriptures, or what the acharyas have said? You know, or saying that there's contradictions, or, you know, that means that that Shraddha hasn't come to that ideal platform that we're talking about, that full nishtha, that being solidly, and because of that, therefore, the taste is not to that fullness. Right? It means, from first coming in contact with the name, there's going to be some taste. That's why people, you know, there's there. But it's not the volume that we would call it taste. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that position where that's all you're absorbed in. That's your drive, and everything is the taste in the holy name. Then you can say it's there, because that it becomes a constant thing. Because the other thing, the shrug is there, and the sangha, or the bhajana kriya, that becomes the prominent element. So there's always going to be a taste. But to develop like that in that way, then we see is that it's not as strong as it could be. Hence, these things are up for discussion, especially if you add in, you value gyan to the point where you value modern gyan to the point where you value modern academic approach, so therefore the academic method of being able to doubt anything and therefore analyzing anything as if we are independent, as if we are, what do you call it? Objective. You know, in other words, the academic takes it for, the position is taken for granted that he's naturally objective. I have the degree, I'm objective. But he's totally subjective. But he takes it, I'm objective, so whatever I'm looking at it, that's objective, and how anyone else is looking at it that's not in line with that, that's subjective. And so if we allow that kind of pride, that kind of ignorance, that kind of misdirection, then naturally, then there's where. How can you say that this is faith in develop shraddha and faith in the words of Shastra Guru? There'll be some to some degree. That's why devotees are around and doing. But you can follow the thread and see where what weeds are there. And in other words, by seeing this, you see, oh, this weed is there. And then you look into your heart and try to see how that's manifested, where it's manifested, and then try to deal with it. And then slowly, slowly, one, you know, by the association of the Vaishnavas, by Krishna's grace, then one understands that this is the form of that weed. And so then you try your best to try to remove it. And then because you have that desire, like I said before, then you get the mercy of the Lord, and then by the grace of Nityananda Prabhu, you're once able to give up those material positions. So then it comes very nicely. But there has to be desire, because it's said, one who intelligent who actually desires. Remember Sanatana's on this point. Like that. And so then that becomes the position. Only once in a while does the Supreme Lord give bhakti, and only to a rare intelligent person who desires only that. So that's the whole point here, shraddha. So the person who has this shraddha, they're the rare intelligent person that Krishna gives bhakti to. It's not someone else. So it's that someone is in that line, they have, you know, that budding faith like that, but it's still distracted by karma and jnana, but they're still on the path. You know, they're still, if they continue with it and associate properly with Vaishnava and chant the holy name, then they'll come to that position. But if they start to criticize those Vaishnavas and doubt Guru and Shastra, then that will slow them down a lot. And if they come to fully doubt, then, as Prabhupada mentions, it'll be millions of lifetimes to come in contact again. You get distracted, you know, the guy's fully fired up, and then, you know, something happens, like I told one, there was, I can't remember where it was, it may have been in America. There was somebody from Sweden. He was there. So he was Swedish. He wasn't like, you know, he had been born in America. He was Swedish. But he was there in America. He was doing book distribution. He went door to door, knocked on one door like that. Somebody opened the door. They started talking like that. By the accent, the person could understand he's from Sweden. She was from Sweden. Invited him in. They started talking. 3 days later, he came back to the temple. Right? We don't have to discuss what happened in between. So the point is that one can get distracted, but that doesn't mean you just come back. So that may be here, and may take another birth, or things like that, and go to the heavenly planets, and come birth back, and born in the family of devotees, or rich persons, or religious persons, and like that, and continue on wherever you left off. You came to, like Prabhupada said, 50%, then to 51%, you'll start and continue. But if you actually doubt to the point where you think that this is not a value, and that, and this is wrong, then that mentality, Krishna is giving you the opportunity to come in contact with the bona fide guru. That means you really don't want. Then that's millions of lifetimes. Not years, lifetimes. You know, like I had one godbrother went to Prabhupada, got blessings that he wants to go take shelter of another guru because he thinks he can give him what he's looking for and Prabhupada can't. Prabhupada said, yeah, give you blessings. Millions of lifetimes he won't come back to Krishna consciousness. So one has to see is that this is a very crucial point. They're always talking about this faith. Oh yeah, that's a beginning point. Now let's get into something more important. You know, do we sit at a round table or a square table, for our meeting and then fight over that for days? Does that have any relevance now? Or?
Yes. Can we say, Maharaj,
yes,
in this context, that to start practicing bhakti, we don't really need face. We just reflect somebody else's face.
No, but that we have faith in that reflected faith, that's a kind of faith, but it's not this faith that's at this level. So in other words, the faith that we're first talking about is kamal. It's delicate. You know? Like that. And so that's the first position. Right? Then the second we take up this association, we have that kamal faith. Means that kamal faith is a little bit more. The delicateness is a little less delicate, but we have that faith in the Vaishnavas. Then it becomes a little bit more solid. It's still delicate, a little less. Then we take up the devotional process, but that process that we've taken up, the Bhajan Kriya, is anishtha. It's not stable. It's not steady. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. One day we're really fired up, the next day we're not. And like this. Then, as we continue with it, because the process is so perfect, then anartha nivritti is there, the heart starts to become dynamically purified. Then we give up the attachment to that karma, jnana, and yoga, and all these other things are going to give us bhakti. It means, now here is that they could simply say, or is it karma, jnana, mystic yoga, and so on. So now in the so on, we could put political correctness, liberality, all these different things we could add on that would be here. But that's the so on. It means whatever it is that's distracting you. Because in different places, different times, there's something that's going to be distracting. So when you know that none of these will give you bhakti, only bhakti will give bhakti, then you come to the point of nishta shraddha. It means fixed shraddha, or firm faith. So the first one, you have faith. It's real, but it's delicate. You know, it's just like a little plant. It's so delicate, anything can wither it. But once it gets established, then, you know. So that's our thing, is how quickly. So when it gets established, we'll say, now that's the madhyama. Because now they're fixed, they can go, they can preach, they can do so many different things. But the same processes are there for the neophyte to try to bring that kamal shraddha to dritta shraddha, or firm faith, as quickly as possible. So that's why we don't want to slow down the process. You know, so these things we were talking about the other day, well, you know, we can't this and that. That's why you have so many examples of people who are householders or this or that. You know, oh, I'm so busy managing. You manage the planet? Yudhishthira Maharaj literally was managing the planet, not just his local region. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like you have in Rome, then they say they're the emperor of the world, right? But how much of the world were they emperor of? You know, and then maybe it shifted over to Constantinople. Now they're the emperor of the world. And then, you know, that goes down. They took a little bit of Gaul like that. They couldn't even get into Germany. Just don't even bother. You know, it's kind of like, you don't come this side, we won't come that side, you know. And then, you know, then France and Napoleon, he's the emperor, right? You know, then the Kaiser, you know, it means Caesar. Then he's the emperor. And then the Tsar, he's the emperor, right? Because Tsar means Caesar, means, you know, same thing. So each one, and then in China, you know, he's the emperor, like that. So they each think they're the emperor, but they're only a small little regional. But when we say Yudhishthira was the emperor, that meant the planet, seven oceans, you know, seven continents. It meant all that. And so then, and if he can be Krishna conscious, why can't we? You know, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his position, and he's saying he went to school, he got educated, he was very nice. He's still distracted by all these things, only now in old age, and he's taking it seriously, so he's trying to remind us, take it seriously earlier. You know, so that's why all these examples are given. Examples of people who are Brahmins, people who are Vaishyas, you know, like Raghunath Das, and you know, they're Kayasthas, and so then, therefore, then he's able to. You know? So the point is, you want Krishna reciprocates. If you want, but you're not quite there, so determined, Krishna will reciprocate on your platform. You'll gradually, by the association of Vaishnavas, you move forward and things will get better. So that's why it's of no use to come up with these philosophies, or it doesn't matter, or this or that, or well, actually we're Westerners, so therefore then, you know, all this stuff doesn't apply to us, and, you know, it's kind of like, you know, what are they talking about? We're the soul. You know, it's just like you've been born here in the West this lifetime. So how much conditioning is you've been in the material since time immemorial. So there's a good chance you've been more in a Vedic scenario than you've been in a modern Western scenario. You know? Otherwise, why is it for the child then it's natural? This is your mother, this is your father. They, you know, where did that come from? That comes from the West? No, you have no mother and father. Or you have two mothers or two fathers. You know, so what are they talking about? Where do they get these ideas from? Oh, the whole thing, their whole lifestyle is based on stuff that is eternal principles. And then saying, oh no, you know, like that. And the Western, that's the universal thing like that. You know, that's what they like to think. But, you know, China thinks the same thing. They have ideas how they're going to take over the world, and that'll be the universal. And Europe thinks they'll take over the world, and that'll be universal. You know? And I'm sure if you go down and down in Cuba, they think they'll take over the world, and they're universal, you know? You know, everyone will be smoking cigars, right? You know, so, you know? Like that, you know? So everybody thinks that what they're doing, that means China, in their own language, means the middle kingdom. It means it's the center. All the other ones are out on the edge. They call themselves the middle kingdom. You know, so that's the view of everybody. So it's just another mundane upadhi that Maya is very clever at. So yes, it says here, the inclination of jiva towards a particular karma in the varnashram social system is a product of naimittika swabhav, temporary assumed material nature. This is substantiated in the scriptures. For example, the Chandogya Upanishad 7.19.1. So yes, it's there. And even if you want to avoid the varnashram, that's also mentioned. Narad Muni, even when he's describing varnashram, mentions those outside. Manu mentions those outside. Everybody mentions, because of course there's going to be people outside. Well, just because you're outside doesn't mean that you the standard of human life. Human life means varnashram. So if you claim to be human, then it has some relevance. If you say, I'm not human, I'm subhuman, okay, then great. Be humble and do the best you can. But this pride, no, my pride is such so big that I have to be able to get the full recognition of someone who's nicely engaged in the Vedic culture by not being engaged, by having a philosophy against it. You know? And then all these things come up. All the political correctness comes up. All the social issues come up. All the issues, this acharya against that, you know, Prabhupada this one, that one, that one. These all come up from these mundane, the inclination of the jiva towards a particular karma. That's all. Otherwise, you know, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, you know, that's what we're going to do. But the point is, what eating, sleeping, mating, defending, if you say you're human, what eating, sleeping, mating, defending will maintain human life? Because only that you can call human. Because if you're not eating according to that, then it becomes animal. So the 8 million, that's not human. 400,000 is, but of what character? Those who follow varnashram, now they're taking full advantage of the human ability, or the human propensities, or inclinations. Then they can use that very nicely. Okay, just the sound of it, it's like, you know, they reach it. Yeah, whoosh, pull out the sword. Okay. Yeah, what is it? You guys may be in the, and so on, but I'm within the 12, you know. don't offend us. No?
Yeah.
Okay. So this aspect of faith, this is a very, very, it was a single-minded bhakti. That's the important thing. That's our goal. And that's the process. That's the actual situation. The sambandhic yan is that. You know? So anything else is extraneous. If anything supports this, we're happy to use it. But if it doesn't support it, we're not happy to use it. And just things, well, the karmis think it's great. Nice, great. You know, if it's because you have a degree, they'll listen to you, but are you going to talk about pure bhakti? Or are you going to get a degree and now you're going to talk like them? And then when you're talking with devotees about things, you're going to talk like them. And so when the devotee says, yeah, so here it says this. Oh no, that hasn't been proved by science. It's kind of like, you know, that's the time when you tap on the driver's shoulder and tell him, pull the car over. You know, when he pulls over, they think you're going to the bathroom. You just get out and walk off. Let them drive down the road. That makes sense? Because otherwise, then, you know, what's the point of that? You know, it's like Prabhupada says, catch the fish without getting wet. But here they fall in and they think they're a fish in the water. Hey, look at me, I'm a big fish. Shraddha is further outlined in the following words of Amnaya Sutra 58. Sa cha sharana pati lakshana. The different indications of surrender are the external symptoms of Shraddha. Right? So those are the external symptoms. So then, therefore, then they're looked at. So they're mentioned, the sharanagati is mentioned. And so you look at these, and when you see these, then you know. You're giving up what's useless in devotional service. You're accepting what's valuable in devotional service. You're, associating with the Vaishnavas. You're respecting the Vaishnavas. You're not taking things as external. Like the other day, someone said something, he's doing this thing. Okay. Like that, you know, but, you know, it's not good and all that. No, but he's doing that because, you know, he came from a poor village background, and so therefore he's in this society just for this. You know, it's kind of like, no, he's not, because villagers would rather be in the village with their own people, enjoying their own relationships and that, than being here with you honkies, you know. Like that, because you don't know how to deal, you don't know how to eat, you don't know how to behave, you don't know, there's nothing, there's no taste for anybody that comes from a simple background as far as human life goes. So that's not why they're here. That's it like this. And if you say there's some contamination, is all that, okay, but that's there. But you could say no one else is doing what he's doing. You know, they're just maybe doing it in a more sophisticated way. You know? And so then these are mundane conceptions. These are bodily identifications. Where they're saying it's this, or it's that. You know, they're identifying with their own and thinking that. And then the person saying it's from just as poor a background. But because it's European, therefore it's okay. You know, in other words, a poor European is better than, you know, the king of some non-European. You know what I'm saying? You know, Pizarro felt it was his right to kill the king of the Incas because he's superior. It's kind of like, the guy is like walking disease, you know, like that, you know. You know, the Europeans are so, yes, we conquered with our superior, you know, how you say, technology and all that. No, they conquered the Americas because most people died because they were so filthy and dirty. When they got off the boat, everyone just died of, you know, disease. And it's kind of like, what are they talking about? 30 guys have 30 shots before they have to reload, right? They have one shot, then they have to sit there. You ever seen them reload a musket gun? How many arrows could you shoot in that much time? Right? How many hundreds of natives are there? That means they would all be dead. No, it's because when they got off the boat, people just fell over dead from the disease. That's why they... You know, or you know, okay, you're a guest at our place, and you come in, and they try to receive you nicely. You know, it's just normal etiquette. And then by that association, they all became sick, you know, so. Yeah. one has to understand is that it's not as glorious as we make ourselves out to be. That's why the first thing is humility, tolerance, respect of others, not like that. Otherwise, we get into so many things that we think we're doing something really solid, when devotionally it's not actually very useful. So Sharanagati, surrender, is described as follows in the Hari Bhakti Vilasa 11.6.76. Anakul yasya sankalpa pratikulasya varjanam rakshish yatiti vishvaso goptritve varanam tata atma nichepa karmanye sadvidha sharanagati. The six divisions of surrender are the acceptance of things favorable to the execution of devotional service, the rejection of unfavorable things, the conviction that Krishna will give protection, the acceptance of the Lord as one's guardian and master, full surrender and humility. Firstly, right, so that's so we see Bhaktivinoda Thakur taking this as now then, you know, emphasized this point and written these songs and talked about this a lot. Right? Firstly, the devotee must make a sankalpa, solemn vow to perform works which are anukul yasya, sankalpa, which are anukul yasya sankalpa, favorable to unalloyed bhakti. Secondly, the devotee must take, I guess, a solemn vow in the matter of pratikulyasya varjanam, rejecting anything that is unfavorable to unalloyed bhakti. Yeah, right, so favorable, that's why you meet somebody, the first thing is they take prasad or they're chanting or like that. Then you can start to deal with what's not favorable. Like a lot of times somebody start off with, no, you have to be vegetarian. No, you have to chant. Being vegetarian is then, you know, does that make sense? That's the main thing. So they're looking at it, no, meat eating is bad, yes, but taking prasad is good. So start with that. And then when they like that, then the nishans will work. So rejecting anything unfavorable to unalloyed bhakti. Thirdly, he must be convinced that the Supreme Lord alone is Rakshatiti Vishvaso, his protector and maintainer, and that nothing positive can come from endeavoring for karma, jnana, and yoga. Right? You won't get anything. You perform your duties in connection, and Krishna will take care. He's the maintainer. So in other words, maintenance comes by surrendering to Krishna. And you do your duties for Krishna. It means if you don't have any material duties, you do, you know, activities of direct devotion for Krishna. If you have material duties, you do the direct devotion, and you do those indirect in connection with Krishna. So that's the point. Then you maintain. Thus the devotee expresses vishvasa, trust in the Lord. Fourthly, the bhakta must develop a sense of goptritve varanam, complete dependence on the Lord, thinking that his own efforts alone will never make him capable of succeeding in anything, not even in physically maintaining himself. Therefore, since the Lord is taking care of him, the bhakta will serve the Lord appropriately, and as well as he can. So that means he does the right service as well as he can, rather than, oh, Krishna's taking care, so he doesn't make the endeavor, he does whatever he likes. No. He does what is appropriate for him and with full endeavor. Therefore, since the Lord is taking care of him, the bhakta will serve the Lord appropriately as well as he can. This is known as nir bharata, dependence. Okay. Yeah, so Krishna will take care, and therefore because he's taking care, he will serve the Lord as best he can. That's the other one. Except that the Lord is one's guardian and master, therefore you serve. Fifthly, the bhakta must atma nikshepa, offer himself wholesale to the Lord. Must be. Maybe you have to put that in. Knowing that he is ignorant of his own spiritual identity, that he is the Lord's property, and that his actions are the implementations of the desires of the Lord. This surrender of the self is also known as Atmanivedana. Sixthly and finally, the bhakta must help develop a sense of karpanye, humility, which makes him feel poverty-stricken, meek, and lowly. This mood of humility is understood as karpanya or dainya. So we see as Sanatana Goswami has given this, that naturally the progress will be in this order. But you also see is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has looked at it also looking the other way, is that when we give up the idea that I'm the controller and enjoyer of the universe, then that with that humility, then he can have that mood of surrendering to the Lord, seeing the Lord as his maintainer and protector. Therefore, then he will give up those things that are useless and accept what's favorable. Then having taken that, now he can apply it the other way and get the result. So in other words, you're trying to get to that result, and it's starting that we're fully absorbed in the material, we want to get to fully absorbed in the spiritual. So we have to, and you're going to follow this process to get to the spiritual. So we have to come from our position in the material down to the point of where the beginning of the spiritual. Right? So if it's reflected, that means then what is up here, we have to start with humility. Then by going through that, we can get to the point of having that shraddha. So then we can then follow now these six in a direct way, with shraddha. Before that, with that firm faith. In other words, before that, it's coming, it's delicate, it's coming so slowly, slowly. So we see, therefore, that's why these two directions they're compatible with each other. Thus, the state of consciousness that is evoked when the heart becomes infused with determination, subservience, trust, dependence, self-surrender, and humility. Is designated as shraddha. So these six symptoms of surrender, this is shraddha. That's very far out. I've never seen that connection, right? Or maybe you've probably seen it, you just don't notice it. But here, the determination means I'm going to do these things favorable. Subservience means I'm going to give up what's unfavorable. Trust means that I'm going to, Krishna will give protection. Dependence means that since he is maintaining and all that, then I will take up that service. And then in that position, therefore, I will fully surrender and I will see myself as meek and humble. So these six, then that becomes shraddha. Whosoever attains the shraddha becomes a fit candidate to execute bhakti for the sadhaka, devotional aspirant. This shraddha is the initial step towards the perfection displayed by the eternally liberated pure jiva souls. Since shraddha is the fundamental nuance of the jiva's nitya swabhava, innate eternal nature, it is therefore also his actual nitya dharma. All the other variations of the dharma of the jiva are naimittika. So, that's the essential point. Anything else, then that's naimittic according to the situation that you may be in now. And then, but you have to see is this one, is the nitya swabhava. Jaiva Dharma, chapter 6. Very nice summary.
Yeah. I was also thinking the two moments, what Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed for yesterday. Mm-hmm. Today he achieved all the sattvika vikaras.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That was really sweet to hear.
Yes, yes.
And then when it's not only his prayers, but the Shad Goswami Astakam and the description of the 10th canto, the residence of Vrindavan, really struck me today is that he's praying the Kabe Habe, when is it going to happen?
Yes.
And he's already experienced what he's praying for, maybe not in a complete form, mm-hmm. but he's, mm-hmm. Has that.
Yes, yes.
Or part of that.
Yes, yes.
But the interesting thing about it is that, as you explained, for so many years, that when you from a position of enjoyer, when you attain something in prayojana, it shifts back into sambandha,
yes.
And then you lose the interest.
Mm-hmm.
But here we see, although like Shad Goswami Asakam and they just wandering in Vrindavan and they're totally immersed in Radha Krishna pastimes.
Mm-hmm.
Still they hanker for that. They want to see Krishna and the Govardhan and near the Radhakun and this. So Prayojana being ever expanded or expanding constantly beyond time and space, that stage we never, you know, bored with. So it, it never becomes back to Sambandhagyan, which is, yeah, I got it, now what's next? So that realm is ever expanding, and the desire to attain Radhe Krishna expands with that realm. So this is something very unique.
Yes, yes, very unique. Because it's on the material platform is whatever is you are gaining is all that matter. So when you attain something, then there's an experience you're trying to get from it, that happiness. But now when that thing then shifts back to Pajumna, where it becomes part of the field that you are in, then it's just external matter. And it may be some inspiration from some further drive, like, you know, I want a house, and now I have a house, and I want furniture. You know, there's always something. But as you're saying, is that it loses the taste. It doesn't have. You have to do something else to more. But in the spiritual, it's all absolute. So therefore, then, anything that's there that becomes part of your inspiration and all that, so it may be in that feature of Pajumna, but as you said, it's ever expanding. It's absolute, so it doesn't take on that mundane quality. So it doesn't lose the that inspiration. It becomes part of the inspiration. So like you said, it's ever expanding. It can go on. Since Krishna is unlimited, it can unlimitedly expand. And we, as you know, being in the fire of Krishna consciousness, we can unlimitedly be in that fire and taste that. Because we have to remember, it's not that the positions are separate from Krishna. You know, it's that you have, you know, out of the fire, you have the fire, and you have the iron. So the iron's natural place is, you know, coming from the fire. So being in that, it acts like fire. So we're part of the Sandini potency, so therefore we're not part of Maya. So it's natural for us to be there eternally.
So this prayer is, or these prayers are equally relevant for sadhakas and siddhas.
That's the whole
point. Siddhas can pray, kabe habe.
Yeah, because it's yeah, like you, yes, exactly. Because there's more to get going, because it's unlimited. And you also see is that in the songs, in the progression of the songs, it'll start off with, you know, being more conditioned and then having that, you know, it means but having some understanding of faith and then developing, and he'll bring it up to the, you know, that dealing with the perfectional aspects. You know, so he'll show the progression is that this Sharanagati works at all levels. So the faith, you know, you're going from Kamal faith to Dritta Shraddha, but then that Dritta Shraddha then has taste and attachment and then bhava and then prema. You know, and when it's lower, then it has, you know, Anartha Nivriti, it has Vajra Kriya, you know, the Sarasanga, these things like that, but then it comes up and then these become very much. So the name is there, then the form, then qualities, then pastimes. So any of these, that's why then there's no problem coming here, because it's so wonderful, the whole thing, the process. You know, the process is wonderful, the result is wonderful, and they're both eternal. So that's why Krishna can come and perform his pastimes from the beginning, and devotees can take up that position that they don't know Krishna, don't know, and then they hear, and then they contact, and then they develop, because it's so wonderful. And then that gives unlimited, you know, we're thinking, oh, you have to go on. And the point is that they, oh, you have to keep changing things. But the thing is no, every moment it's something new. And so the same thing seems that it's new. And it's unlimited, that there's unlimited facets of that same thing. So there's no, it eternally expands. But yes. That's why we can read it as sadhakas, and those who are advanced can read it. So you see, Gorkhisor Das Babaji Maharaj, I think he had Prem Bhakti Chandrika. I'm not sure yet.
And Pratali.
And Pratali. So he had the two books of that. And he could read them over and over again and never get old. Because they'll discuss the point of, you know, as a sadhaka, so they'll feel I'm so fallen, but at the same time it'll discuss the aspects of prema. So that's the whole thing, is we're being given the whole system. It's just a matter of where you are, you move forward. You know, it's just like when you buy a ticket on a bus, that ticket includes getting to the destination. But until you're there, you're not there. But how much you are there, you're that much there. But this thing is, no, I have to get the full experience of the destination so that when I get there, then I can be in the destination. No, by just going there, you'll be there. So that's what's so wonderful. That's why our acharyas don't get distracted by all these other things. They're focused. They can be focused on the individual development, the preaching, and all these different things. While others, it's all about themselves and what they're going to do. You know. It's natural they have a taste in all this, but then, as they said, the compassion for living entities comes up. They want to help. Since we're here, you do that. You know. And in your own time, own moments, then you taste the nectar. And the more you're helping the living entities, the more the nectar is being tasted. Okay. Finish this study. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.